and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
In the book of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 31 says, "For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh." Well, verse 32 goes on to say that this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Paul says this is a great mystery, and I remind you that the word mystery means something which is concealed, hidden, before unknown. It does not mean that it cannot be understood when it is disclosed, but that before this time it has been kept a secret. Well, when a mystery is disclosed, it may be as understandable as any other truth. The Word of God is truth. And the Word of God tells us that we are to worship God in spirit and in truth. And that's the way that we understand the Word of God, is getting into it and realizing that God is going to speak to us. That's those people who are saved. He's going to unfold mysteries to us, things that before we did not know. And one of the greatest things that he has disclosed to man in general is that man can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It's hard to understand how that a person can escape hell by trusting Jesus Christ. And that is, it's hard to understand the mystery until it happens to us, until we get into the Word of God and understand that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever. That means everybody, and that's not a secret. That is unfolded, and that is brought out in the Word of God, that we can be saved, that mankind can be saved by trusting Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And then guess what? Later on, we're going to become the bride of Christ. We're going to be in heaven with the Lord. We're going to be joined with Him. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 9 says, "Having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself." Now, I spoke one time about how to find out God's will, and that's to get into the Word of God and let God guide you. Let Him let you know that He has something for you. He wants you to be serving Him while you're here on this earth. You see, I found in my study of the Word of God that any time the word mystery appears, the mystery spoken of is about to be explained. In other words, if it says there's a mystery, or I talk to you about a mystery, well, that mystery is getting ready to be explained by God in His Word, or it has just been explained. This is what is called rightly dividing the Word of truth. That means getting into the Word, worshiping God in spirit and in truth. We worship God, we go to Him in prayer, we have communion with Him, we talk to Him in prayer, and then He lets us see things in His Word. He unfolds the Word of God to us in truth. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth." Now, it's good to be able to memorize Scripture, and it's very good to memorize. And it's good to let other people know that we are memorizing Scripture, but we don't do it for the approval of man. We study the Word of God for His approval. And as we study and we memorize the Word of God, it's for God's pleasure that we do this, and it's for our good that we do it, because the Word of God becomes part of us. We're preparing right now to live somewhere forever. The somewhere forever for the saved person is with Jesus Christ in heaven. It's sad that the somewhere forever for the person who has never trusted Jesus Christ is in a devil's hell, later to be cast into the lake of fire. What a terrible ending that would be. And I'm thankful to the Lord that I won't be there. I won't be in the lake of fire because I have trusted Jesus as my Savior. And I pray that you've done the same thing. And if you have done that and you have trusted Him as your Lord and Savior, you need to look for His will in the Word of God through Bible study, fellowship and prayer, fellowship with the Lord, getting close to Him. Well, notice this. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Well, what was the truth that was so great a mystery that Paul's speaking about in the book of Ephesians? It was this, that the eternal Son of God would form such a union with saved people during this church age that He would have a connection with them that implies devotion and strength of affection, superior to even that which exists in the marriage relation between a man and a woman. It's stronger than that. See, no one would have understood the relationship between the church and Christ without receiving the unveiling of the truth found in the Word of God, which the church at Ephesus received from Paul, who wrote the epistle to the Ephesians under the inspiration of God. Well, we today also receive the mystery revealed in not only the book of Ephesians, but in other books of the Bible, the King James Version, that is. Now, notice with me, if you would, Paul, under the inspiration of God, does not leave us in the dark as to the subject of the mystery referred to in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32. He says, "But I speak concerning Christ and the church." He's making it clear here of the mystery he's speaking of. You see, Paul makes it clear, and this, once again, it's no longer a mystery because he's telling us here. Paul makes it clear that he is talking about Christ and the church. The church, God's saved people during this dispensation of the church. It is Christ's church, and His church does not belong to some hierarchy such as the Roman Catholic Church or to some denominational big shots who would claim, "I have the largest church in the world." See, if those people within a local congregation have not been born again, then they are not Christ's church, His bride-to-be, in other words. If some are saved in a local congregation, then they are part of Christ's church. No person can claim to have the largest church, save people, in the world because it is Christ who has the largest church. He is the one who has saved each individual who belongs to His church. We need to be careful with how we say things concerning Christ and His church. And we should never take credit for what God does through us. We should never take credit for what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. We give out the word of God and we tell people how to be saved. And He's the one who saves them, not us. We are the ones that are privileged to be able to take the Word of God into this lost and dying world and share the gospel, the mystery of Jesus Christ, the mystery. How can we understand that someone came to save us? We understand it by getting in the Word of God and the Holy Spirit imparts the truth to us. And then we share it with other individuals, and the same God who saved us, the same Jesus Christ who died on the cross for us, is the same one who died for them. And by the way, He rose from the grave for us, and He does for every person in this world. He did that for every person so that everyone has an opportunity to know Him as Lord and Savior. Salvation is not exclusive. In other words, it's not just for a certain person or a certain group. Salvation is inclusive. It's for everyone who would call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, getting back to the subject here of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 32, notice what Adam said of the marriage union of a man and a woman. Now, we've read this. Adam said this, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man." Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now, I spoke one time, and I've mentioned this before, how that Jesus Christ came into this world. He was born of a virgin. He lived a sinless, perfect life. He never sinned. He went to the cross of Calvary. He shed his blood. That blood was shed for you and I, for mankind. He was placed in that tomb. He was buried. And after the third day, he rose. 3 days and three nights, he rose from the grave. He went back to heaven. He left this world. But one of these days, you and I, who are saved during this time, the Bible says that we're going to go up one way or the other, even in either in death or the rapture of the church. But we too will be leaving these things behind, just as a person leaves mother and father. It says, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother. We're leaving this old world to go to be with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we will become his bride. And some people don't understand this. I don't understand it fully, but I know the mystery has been unfolded to me by getting into the Word of God, and I know that by faith I'm going to be with my Lord, and I'm going to be closer than I've ever been closer to anyone else. I'll be with my Savior. Well, notice, if you would, as we continue on in verse 33 of Ephesians chapter 5, and because of all of this, because of what we've spoken of here about the marriage and all of this, verse 33 says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife. Now we're getting into the human aspect of how that we as a family, as people, are to behave ourselves, and how wives and husbands and children are to listen to the Word of God and do what God wants us to do. Paul says, nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Notice the word nevertheless. Paul continues the subject that he had been discussing in verses 21 through 29 in Ephesians chapter 5. And he goes on to say that it was the duty of every man to love his wife as he did himself. And this was the main topic that he had directed the discussion with the respect of the love which the Redeemer had shown for his church. Can you imagine that? 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 says, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them, that's with the wife, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. You see, husbands are to love their wives as Christ loved the church. The husband stands in the Christian family as the representative of Christ and is called to love his wife. How did Christ love the church? He came from heaven's glory to be a servant. He served and is serving the church right now. The husband's love towards the wife is to be expressed in loving service to her, and giving her as unto the weaker vessel. 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7 again says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that's the wife, according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Do you know him today as your Savior? You need to know him. You need to say, Lord Jesus, forgive me. I'm not going my way anymore. I'm going to go your way. Your way leads to heaven, Lord. And your way tells me that I can have eternal life by calling upon you. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm calling on you now, Lord, to save my soul. Please save me for Jesus' sake. If you'll pray a prayer like that and mean it in your heart, God will save you.
Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.